Robert's a pretty hard act to follow. He gets pretty excited about things, and I'll try to be maybe a little bit more excited about my talk now, but I'm going to talk a little bit about what I thought a grower should need to consider as he looks at these rotational crops, a little bit more about the soils, the crop residue problems you may have, and I slipped in a little extra that I didn't tell them about time management that I think farmers need to consider from what I saw this year. There's less and less continuous cotton. As Robert sort of mentioned, we're seeing more problems with nematodes, disease pressure in cotton that has caused us to go to more rotational crops to break up these cycles. Also, everybody knows the price situation with other crops have caused us to do a lot more rotations with cotton. There's a lot of different ways you can grow cotton or grow other crops. Sometimes I'm asked, you know, tell me what the best system I should use in growing a crop, and to me that's always a hard thing to do because I try not to promote one system over another. There's a lot of different ways you can have conventional tillage, what I call it, or full inversion tillage, as you see there in the top, something we use for years. You can have a strict no-till system that you see on the bottom there with no tillage whatsoever. I recently saw something in a magazine that called that never-till now, so that's a new phrase. You can have strip tillage. You can have subsoiling, bedding, ridge-till systems. All these things are systems that are very good and farmers can use. And in many cases, the system that you use will be really dependent on the soil type that you have. And one of the main factors that we see is soil compaction problems on certain soils. You may have a compacted layer near the surface and get real restricted root growth, as you see there on the left in early season, or it could be that compaction can be a layer 12 to 18 inches down in the soil, and you get a restricted taproot system down. And in both cases, you're going to have some practices to alleviate those problems. I'm going to show you a little bit about the soils in Alabama because that's what I'm most familiar with, and sort of use that as an example of how you have to look at your soils to see what kind of system you're going to use. There's really three major areas in the state that we have our row crop areas in. The first area is the light green area that you see. That's the coastal plain soils of Alabama. These are the same soils that run into Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Very sandy soils, very productive soils. They do have a tendency to have these hard pans, as I mentioned, 12 inches deep, and in many cases do require some in-row tillage to alleviate that problem and get you a better root system. So that's a normal practice. As you think about rotation on these soils, you have to consider these are very droughty soils in many cases. Sometimes we say we're only 3 days away from a drought right after we get a rain. So as you know, cotton has done very well in these areas. As you look at rotational crops, many people don't consider corn or soybeans as very good rotational crops because of their drought sensitivity. Wheat can be grown in this area. The big rotational crop, though, in the southern part of the state there, is peanuts. The nematode complex that attacks peanuts is not the same root knot nematode complex that attacks cotton. So it turns into an excellent rotation for cotton, and many growers are using 2 years of cotton, 1 year of peanuts. Just an excellent rotation. So you're going to have to look at the soils in your area and try to determine, you know, which crops are best. As you go up in Alabama, the lighter yellow area are Appalachian Plateau soils. These are we call sand mountain soils or sandy soils, but not as sandy as the coastal plains. As you go in this area, you'll see a lot more no-till production. A few of these soils have some frangipans under them, but in many cases you can no-till in these soils and be very productive. And most of the crops you see there on the page, you can grow in rotation with cotton. Most of these fields, though, are fairly small fields and sloping fields, and much of that is in pasture. The other big area is the brown area that you see in the northern part and a little bit in the central, which are limestone valley soils. These are our heavier soils, silty clay, red soils, very, very productive soils. Now, this area also has gone to a lot of no-till production. The biggest problem there is what I showed you in the earlier slide with some surface compaction. These soils have a tendency to form a small layer there in the top 6 inches of the soil that can have you cause you some compaction problems. But what we found is growing rotational crops such as wheat or corn that have very fibrous root systems can actually break this compaction layer up for you and not require any kind of tillage. Whereas soybeans with more of a taproot system like cotton is not that effective. So that's another thing. The soils just play a major role in what you choose to do. I wasn't going to show a lot of slides today, a lot of data slides, but I decided to throw a couple in. We have a lot of data in Alabama on rotations and what that can mean on yields on cotton. We actually have the oldest cotton rotation in the United States in Alabama. This site is one in the northern part of the state where I am. We've looked at a one-year rotation of cotton with different crops. And one of the big things you'll hear a lot about in rotations with other crops is building organic matter. And that's something we've seen in a lot of our tests. What you see there are one-year rotations comparing continuous cotton with the various rotations. The no-till in the stubble is actually where we no-till our cotton back in the old cotton stubble, and the no-till wheat is actually where we plant a wheat cover crop and come back with wheat. So that's actually continuous cotton. In the 6 years from 88 to 94 when we did this test, everything was conventional tillage except for those two no-till plots, and you can see we have about 1.5% organic matter in continuous cotton. With beans and corn, we can up that a little bit in rotations. But if you go to a wheat soybean rotation, you see a big jump because of the extra organic matter that you're producing there, even though they're doing some tillage there. And the no-till plots even are increasing somewhat. In the next 6 year period, 95 to 01, you see again our continuous cotton has stayed with the same amount of organic matter. Cotton bean rotations still not a tremendous amount of residue, but you see some increase there. Cotton, wheat, and beans, a big increase again in organic matter. And then you see our two no-till plots. Really, we're finally starting to build some organic matter. So you see that's a positive aspect of rotations. Now, what does that mean for yield? These are the same plots. Actually, this test was started in 1980. And you see our rotations in that period of time were, our yield responses were fairly low as we went to 88 to 94. And we see a little bit bigger responses where we have more residue, the cotton, wheat, soybean rotation. You actually see a negative number down there on the no-till plot. Of course, this is before we had technology and other things, but I think the biggest problem there, as I talked to you about earlier, these soils tend to have a compacted layer at the surface, and no-tilling into that old stubble just wasn't a good practice. And we needed that wheat to loosen up that compaction. From 95 to 2005, you'll see much bigger rotations. This is where our no-till really kicked into gear. All these plots are no-till in that period of time, and you see much larger increases in organic matter or in yield. There's also some unusual rotations out there. This is one I just came across as I was going through my slides, but You know, in some areas of in Alabama, we can actually, southern part of the state, put in small grains and graze cattle and pull those off and still plant a crop. You see here soybeans, but also well, I've seen them grow cotton in those areas. Residue management is a big thing when you go to these rotational crops, and a lot of what I've already talked about, whether you till or no-till will be a big factor in how much residue you're going to have to handle. Row spacing is a big problem. If you have your cotton on one row spacing and say corn on another row spacing and you try to plant, you're going to be planting back into compacted areas by tractor tires or pickers. So you want to stay away from that if you can. In most cases, if you can go to the same row spacing, I think you'll be better off. Planting date also is a lot of times delayed when you go to these rotational crops. You have more residue on top of the ground, and you're going to have to delay a little bit before you can get in there. The soil will stay a little bit wetter. Planting equipment modifications is something you'll have to play with. Again, depending on your soils, whether you need a coulter in the front to cut through residue, the best cleaning wheels in the front, and also the packing wheel in the back. There's various ones we change as depending on soil conditions. Last thing that I want to talk a little bit about is something that I just saw a lot of this year with our growers. We went to a lot of different crops this year. We had several farmers that planted wheat in the fall, came back in February and planted corn in some fields. Then in April, they planted some early group four soybeans and then followed up planting the rest of their fields with cotton. When the wheat came off, they decided with soybean prices they would plant all that in double crop soybeans. So this is sort of what happened. About mid-June or early July, the wheat was ready and a very good crop. And we went in to harvest that and planted, right after that, planted double crop soybeans. In August, early August, the corn began to be ready and they got in with their combines cutting corn. And even before they could get out of there, they were noticing the early soybeans were getting ready. And the early group four soybeans don't wait on you. They tend to pop out. And so that was a big hassle trying to get everything and get the soybean heads on and get all that done at one time. By September, you know, I was going out telling them you need to go out and defoliate your cotton, which they really weren't ready to do yet. And by mid-September, we had some cotton being harvested. Then in October, those double crop soybeans were also being ready to harvest. So you better be ready to manage your systems. I think we had some of our farmers with their tongues hanging out by the end of harvest time. It was actually turned out to be a very productive year for most all these crops, but I think time management is something we really hadn't considered as much, and we should. I think like a lot of people, I try to be as optimistic as I can with the different rotations that we have now, and they do offer us, I think, a lot of advantages in our cotton production. We, like I said, we had one of our best, if not the best, cotton average yield probably in Alabama this year. But I do think when we go to these systems, we're going to have to think a lot more about our management, because I really think it increases a lot of our management decisions. That's all I have.